Angela and Jen are not fembots. Or are they? Decide for yourself by listening to the Anomaly Podcast.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
I'll do that.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and I would like telekinesis and astral projection, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Jen, and I'm afraid of heights, but I wish flying was my superpower, and I am an anomaly.
Hello! I don't think the superpower conversation ever gets old, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think I can have it over and over again. And I always go back to Prue's powers from Charmed. I would want to move some with my mind.
Well, we all did as kids.
Because you know, it'd
you
be
lay
so
in bed
much
and
easier.
Stare at the light switch knowing that if you thought hard enough, it might come on.
And flying, huh?
Yes.
Really?
Superman. Wonder Woman apparently can fly now without her invisible jet.
That goes into super strength, I guess, the flying. I guess it doesn't have to if it's magical.
Right, there's a lot of super characters that can fly that aren't like Superman.
That's true. So what are we talking about today? Speaking of superpowers.
The Avengers Age of Ultron.
In all fairness, three of them don't have superpowers.
That's
if you think
true.
About it. So you have two assassins, and then Tony Stark technically doesn't have any superpowers. He's like Batman. His superpower is wealth and industry. Like, he's industrious.
Yeah.
And is smart. Technically not any superpowers.
Super intelligence?
Super intelligence, but not... I don't know that it's necessarily super intelligence to a point that's supernatural.
Right.
Thor is definitely supernatural.
Yes.
And Hulk, though it was science-based, is supernatural to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Captain America. He's
Captain America all, yeah. has the same
science.
Type...
Yeah.
yeah, it's the same type of thing as Hulk. I think that's interesting.
Black Widow doesn't have superpowers, but I don't know. How do you equate like super badass skills to the superpower spectrum? Because, I mean, in the normal world, they would be superheroes.
No, I agree. And yes, it's heightened. Because as it is comic book, they are superheroes,
yeah.
regardless of the fact that whether they have superpowers or not is kind of debatable, but obviously their skills trump normal people skills. And the same thing with Tony Stark. But technically, in the universe, they are not. And I always thought it was interesting, and we can get into this is probably a whole conversation topic, about the idea that in the Marvel universe, there's things happen to you, like, by accident, kind of. Like, you... Or not by accident, but, like, something happens to you and then you become... Or the gods or whatever. There's some sort of halfway logical explanation. Whereas there's something more supernatural about the abilities in DC. Like...
That's true.
Like, being born as a goddess or... I don't know. It's just interesting.
Well, except for Thor.
Yeah.
He's
an
true.
Alien, technically.
Most of the things are scientific in Marvel. Like, Spider-Man.
Right.
And, Captain America, Hulk.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's an interesting topic, but... So, we're talking about... What are we talking about today?
Again, Age of Ultron.
Shields up, red alert. Spoilers, decloaking off the starboard bow. That was a warning.
Finally, Angela had seen it, like... What, opening weekend?
We did. We saw it opening weekend.
And she had to wait around for me because...
Well, no, I think it maybe was a week later because we just happened to get babysitting. It was very...
Me, everyone that I know in my area who could babysit for Aaron was unavailable, so I had to wait.
That's anyway, okay.
But I saw it. It was awesome. I enjoyed it.
I did, too.
There are some things I would pick out, but not... They're not important things.
That's the point of the podcast, Jen.
I know. I'm just saying that it doesn't mean that was a bad movie at all.
No.
It's just me trying to think of something to pick at.
Well, I'm trying to think. So I have to tell you my little mini story about it is that, okay, we started watching, and I'm not going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, what happens in it, but just for those of you who know, this is the order in which I watched everything. Our plan was to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the point, because I hadn't seen Winter Soldier either. So to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Winter Soldier, we watched Thor, okay? So because we had not caught up on hardly any of this. So we did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Thor, then the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Captain America, Winter Soldier. And then we stopped. But we didn't have time to finish all that before our opportunity to watch Age of Ultron. So I watched Age of Ultron, then went home, watched Winter Soldier. and then we proceeded to finish watching.
A little confused at times.
Yes, because there was... So since we did that all in one day, there was, like, times where I couldn't remember what happened in Age of Ultron and what happened in Winter Soldier. So I do know, though. I think I know. So, and remember I told you, because you had seen Winter Soldier when it first came out.
Yeah, I did.
And, like, the bonus scene in the middle of the credits had the twins from this movie. And also the setting from the beginning of Ultron where they're in the snow and that bunker or whatever, that is where they are in the cut scene at the end of Winter Soldier. So that, you know, because everything's connected, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they start with...
Well, I had seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. So right. I watched Winter Soldier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think I talked you into watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
yes.
too. It was super awesome. But... Yeah, I'll talk about it a little later, but I got kind of confused as to... Because I haven't seen... because I have Netflix and I don't have live TV or anything like that, I haven't seen any of the new stuff. So
me,
I don't
me
know
neither.
What's happened since then that would leave kind of a gap between what we saw on Netflix and what happened in the movie.
Right.
Because it kind of... What happened? You know, what's...
But I think it's designed so that you don't necessarily... I think it's more important to watch the movies in order to enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than the other way around.
But they're... The stories are intertwined.
They
and
are.
Something happens in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that kind of was happening. It was happening in Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And then it happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I thought it was going to leapfrog back into...
Well, again, I think it's important to watch the movies if you're watching the TV show.
Yeah.
But not as important to watch the TV show to enjoy the movies.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, and I enjoyed it. And also, you have to think, there are some people out there who are not following the whole spectrum, who really liked Avengers and wanted to watch the second Avengers. And so I think if you would have done that, I don't think you would have lost too much. There was enough... There's added if you did, but it's not necessary. You still kind of get the idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in and they meet Scarlet Witch, who they never call her Scarlet Witch in the movie. So is that who she is? I guess
did they
so.
Call her that in Winter Soldier? Where are you getting that name?
It's on the, like, if you look it up.
Okay.
Like, if you look it up on the Wikipedia or whatever. Not, like, the superhero, but, like, the movie. In the movie titles, I think they call her that.
Gotcha. Okay.
But maybe that, I don't know. I think. Maybe I should look it up. Anyway, so the twins.
Yeah, the twins are in the beginning of them. And I wasn't really sure what was going on because... Although I watched Winter Soldier, I stayed through the credits. It's been a while, and
right.
I didn't remember the end. So we should have probably watched it as a refresh, just to see what happened. But she's looking it up.
Okay.
Talk
about something
else
for a second.
Yeah, I really like the whole issue that Tony Stark was dealing with. You know,
yes, after they got zapped?
Yeah.
Okay.
His fear of losing everyone and it being his fault prompted him to create this mess that happened because of his fear.
Okay,
failure. Okay.
I lied. They have her listed as Wanda Maximoff. Yeah.
Wanda.
Hold on. And I guess her brother would be listed as the other Maximoff or whatever. Played by the sister of the Olsen twins. Did you know that?
I remember someone telling me that. Yeah.
She was good. I liked her.
She was.
I think if we were to cosplay Age of Ultron, I'd probably want to be her. I mean, yeah. I've decided not, and I did not consult Jen about this, but she gets to play Maria Hill in all of our cosplay.
I've been cast as that character by several people.
I'm sorry, but it's just like
friends.
Why would I mean it? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
I could deal with that.
Everybody who's seen pictures of you, I think that that's the most obvious choice. Yep. And I need a red leather jacket, also. It's very important.
You kind of had one.
I did.
You tore it up.
I did. Cosplay. I tore it up to for cosplay purposes. Yeah, that's funny.
So what I was saying was, like,
sorry.
It's interesting that the fear that Tony Stark had of failure created a bigger failure.
Right. Because right? That's the thing. You never want to see too far in the future. They even say that with any kind of divination in the movies or, you know, however. Mm-hmm. It is. A lot of the times, just being able to see the future doesn't necessarily help. Mm-hmm. In fact, it can make you make decisions that lead you right to what you didn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So in IMDb, she's listed as Wanda Maximoff / Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
So that's, there you go.
So, like, it was, no one referred to the this is a Star Wars reference, apologies. The Ithorian in the cantina scene from A New Hope as Hammerhead in the movie, but they marketed and packaged the figure as Hammerhead.
Well, and so, also everywhere they call Black Widow Romanoff. Like, even when they talk about her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they'll make casual comments about blah, 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 Romanoff. Even mm-hmm. Romanoff couldn't XXX.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it means something. Obviously, it means something to us. So they don't really call her Black Widow, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, it's kind of like her code name, maybe.
Maybe. Well, yeah. And also I think it's a way for the comic book universe and the movie universe to kind of reconcile itself, because I think as a movie, you connect more with the characters by names like that. You mm-hmm. know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's personal.
It's more personal.
They call Captain America Cap. What's his real name? John?
Steve Rogers.
Steve.
Even Russell knows that.
I know.
I'm
and he's
kidding.
One of my favorite characters ever. I bet that's a surprising thing.
I have to say, but I just really like, and I've said this, did we ever talk about Avengers, the first one?
Nope.
Okay.
We
well,
really need to.
Then, I like Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. I really do. I don't know what, maybe it's because, like, He like reminds me of all the guys I've ever liked in my life, and so like he's like my type of guy, yeah. And so maybe that's why I like him. But and the way he plays him too, like I've seen other incarnations of Hulk that I was kind of meh about, and I just really like the juxtaposition between his character and the Hulk character. Obviously, you need to have that because you need to really feel like he's not this big guy.
Yeah,
the big he's the opposite. He's the scientist who created this, and they really are two different people. It's a Jekyll and Hyde scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So very, I don't know, very interesting, I think. And yeah. I just like him. So what else?
Well, the actor that plays Captain America is awesome too.
Oh, he's good.
And I love that he and Chris Pine.
Oh, yes.
They go to children's hospitals.
Not Chris Pine.
Why do we always do that? Not
Chris
Kirk.
Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
But
yes,
we had the same conversation.
But I didn't do that, did I?
No,
somebody
it was
did.
Winter in a completely different conversation.
Why? They're not the same.
No, but everyone does that.
I guess it's the Chris
it's
and the
It's the Chris P. Yeah. Chris Pratt.
Yeah. But Cute. Anyway, super cool of them to start going. They go to children's hospitals and visit children. I would love to do that. But also the actress who played Sif.
Oh, I like her.
From Thor.
Mm-hmm.
She's now starting to do that. I just think that is so cool.
It is.
It's just a way to give back, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
No, that's okay. So what else do we need to talk about? There's basically a little bit of a breaking. I feel like the break wasn't as bad as I was thinking it was going to be based on the trailer.
Yeah, I thought they were all going to be against each other.
Right.
It happened really
But
fast.
It really wasn't them against each other. It's like, basically it was S.H.I.E.L.D. against itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that happened. I don't know.
But it happened a little bit between the characters in this movie because they
that's
all
true.
Had different opinions on how to proceed.
Right.
Like, Tony wanted to create these robot things, whatever yes. they are, and everyone else was like, what are you, nuts? Don't you watch sci-fi? Have you ever seen Battlestar Galactica? Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
But he did it anyway, and he failed. But people were talking about it, you know, being a civil war
yes.
in S.H.I.E.L.D., and I thought for sure it would be that way with them. It didn't happen. It happened a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we all got to see our what if Thor
yeah.
and so-and-so got into a fight, and
yeah.
what if Captain America tried to pick up the hammer?
That was a funny scene yes, where they all tried to pick up the hammer.
Love that they were hanging out in a bar together was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, that was
so
cool.
The nerd debates were definitely yeah. in the movie.
Well, okay, so we had three revelations. One was Vision, the superhero that got created. He picked up
The hammer. Yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting revelation, which I think was cool because they had that whole scene. Seems like a silly scene, but really it set up this idea mm-hmm. that really no one can pick it up except for Thor. And so here comes this guy and he can pick it up. But what does that mean? You know, does that mean that the hammer deems it as good? What does worthy mean? Does worthy necessarily mean?
His intentions maybe were worthy.
Well, but that, they don't answer that. That's what's interesting. They always, what they say in Harry Potter was that Voldemort did great things, terrible but great.
Yeah, now that you didn't get to watch Winter Soldier, I never saw Thor.
Ah.
So I don't know. I know a little bit of the story about him. The backstory was mm-hmm. that he was kind of arrogant and stuck on himself, and he had the hammer then, right? Or was it after he let go of that and his father
Well,
gave
you
him
remember him. Even in Avengers, the first Avengers movie, that he went through a, you know, when everybody kind of like, when Hulk tears up the ship
yeah.
and everybody breaks and nobody's, you know, and then they all come back together, like he can't pick it
oh,
up.
Oh, okay.
Because so he's like kind of lost
his mojo.
He lost his mojo, exactly. And so then he can't pick it up. And so there is kind of this thing that goes back and forth. So the only one who can is him. And then if he can't, then the idea is no one can. So if this guy can, then either he's able to work some magic or he really is worthy of something.
Yeah.
And you don't really have a choice. You got to trust this guy because he could kill everybody.
At that point, though, when he picked up the hammer, I did trust him. Before that, I was kind of like, all right, here's yeah. another guy that you really shouldn't trust, but you're going to because you need him.
Jim actually read the comics and he wasn't worried.
Okay.
So it seems like we're okay, but I don't know because they divert from the
it's
comics
a little
bit. It's
an interesting character. I like mm-hmm. him. It kind of, mm-hmm. His costume kind of. It's weird, but I don't know.
Well, I didn't look it up, but I imagine they're trying to pay homage
copy
one
to
way.
The comic.
And that's another thing is when you have comic to
yeah,
live action
yeah.
film, there are some things you sacrifice, and you're trying to keep it as close
yeah.
as possible. But there's things that just can't that don't work on live
mm-hmm.
action, and so I don't think it was bad as long as
no,
you suspend
it did
your
made
disbelief.
It look like 80s comic book guy, but.
Yeah.
But I like the touch where he looked at Thor and the way Thor was dressed, and then he popped the cape out. you
yeah.
know, he generated the cape or whatever.
Yeah.
Just to kind of mimic him.
So, okay, so another revelation, which is small, but another revelation was Hawkeye has a fam. What's up with that?
I like that.
I almost wish there was an agent there. Like, just because now we've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it would be funny if there was, like, somebody we had seen. Like, a character we had seen, like, in maybe one scene
yeah.
was there, you know, just to make
hanging
sure everybody's
out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he left. Yeah.
And then he left. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be good. Why didn't they do that? Yeah, it's almost like he's the most, not realistic, but the most...
It's a job.
He's our tie to reality in that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, he's the everyman.
He's the everyman.
Which every show needs.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie needs. And I like that he had... I like that he had a family. I like that they had, like, a logical explanation as to why we had never seen them. But also that, obviously, Black Widow knew who they were and had
oh,
been
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, she's real. I like
and,
the fact that she's good.
And so I thought that
them.
That was cool. And the girl that played his wife was Daphne in the live-action Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, I missed those on purpose. Sorry.
They're not that bad.
They're not. Because I'm, like, a die-hard Scooby-Doo, classic Scooby-Doo fan.
You
so
are
I
or
can,
you're not?
I am.
I think it's
so
cute.
So I don't know if I could deal
and with
Sarah
that. And Sarah Michelle Gellar's in it. I mean, it's
okay,
cute.
Well, she's in it.
Don't go in and think, I'm going to go see excellent cinema. Go in and think, this will be silly.
Yeah.
And you'll like it.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's so not great, but it's not bad.
So now that we're talking about that house and stuff, yes. Should we get to the controversy of what happened?
I don't know that we need to get too far into it, but go ahead.
I don't know if everybody listening is familiar with the controversy, but there are people, and there were, like, internet articles written by women who found it offensive that Black Widow thought herself to be a monster. It seemed like she was saying that she was a monster because she was sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where she's talking to Bruce Banner, who was telling her that he's not boyfriend material because he's a monster. So she's trying to go, oh, it's okay. Look, I'm a monster too because I'm a killing machine.
Right.
And they did this to me. And at the end, you know, she talks about how she's sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are equating that with her saying she's a monster because she's sterile.
Right.
Or that she would ever want children to begin with, apparently, is offensive.
Right.
Because she's a badass. What I'm getting from it, and maybe I'm wrong, but some of these articles that I'm reading about it make it sound like you can't be a badass and want children.
Right.
And you can't be a mom and be a badass.
I think it's complicated. And I've read a few of the articles, too, and I feel like, honestly, it's hard for me to say exactly what I would have thought because I read some of those articles before I saw the movie. So I was prepared going in. Honestly, when I saw it, it appeared to me like it was just a small section of this bigger scene, this bigger idea that everything that she is and this trauma that happened to her, she feels like it was a trauma. To me, I don't think it's about like what's happening on the outside. It's kind of hurt because everybody, when they got zapped by the Scarlet Witch, they all went to like this personal drama. They went through a personal breaking where they had a point either in their past or in the future that might happen where they were out of control. Like they had a loss of control.
Yeah.
The whole impetus of the movie and everything that happens is because Tony had that revelation of what could have happened. And she had the flashback to when they did this to her. That's how I took it. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying that's how I personally took it, was she saw it as a lack of control. And then they were, he said to her, I'm not boyfriend material. I can't do this. They're in that house and there's the family. And so he's pointing to it like, you know, if you think we're going to get together and have this sweet life, that's not going to happen. And she's like, well, I can't have that sweet life either. So I hope you don't expect that from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Yeah. We're not saying anyone's opinion is wrong. We're just trying to figure it out. Because I think what happened is, like, everybody is looking at it is looking at it through their own glasses, you know?
Well,
they're absorbing what's happening on screen and applying it to, you know, comparing it to their own selves. So, like, when I saw it, I was thinking about how David and I were married almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if I wanted kids at all. Mm-hmm. And I waited 15 years before I actually had a kid. Throughout my marriage, I didn't think I wanted kids, but I was glad that the option was there. In case. If it was taken away, I would probably be angry about it, even though I didn't want kids. That was just an option on the table I would have wanted.
Right.
So I was looking at it from that perspective, like, yeah, I can see how that would be something that felt like it was stolen from you.
Yes.
And be angry about it. Casey wrote a really good article that's on our blog, if you want to check it out, about her own personal experience
story
as someone who can't have children at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she identified with Black Widow in that. So everyone's looking at it from their own perspectives.
Well, this is funny because I bring this up sometimes. This is part of when I was studying theater history, is that there's all these different things that go into a production, let's say, and how the audience sees it. And the very last ingredient, you know, you put on a show, you manipulate the lights and the sound, and you do all these things to create this performance or to create a piece of art. But the last ingredient that you cannot control is what the audience member brings with them. Every audience member brings with them a perspective that you have no control over. And so when you serve something to them, whether it's art or music or dance or movies, you cannot control how they take in everything, because they're going to come in with their own experiences and their own, exactly what you said, you know, we're talking about it here. This is our experience, our personal. Now, you know, you could also make the argument that the reason they sterilized her was to, you know, cut ties and make her into this, like, super assassin. But then you can kind of look at the other perspective, the Terminator perspective, where the mother, Sarah Connor, becomes a fighter because of her son. Mm-hmm. Like, that the mother thing kind of makes her even more of a badass because you're protecting, you know, the mother bear kind of thing. I don't know. It's kind of interesting on both sides. I see both sides mm-hmm. of that.
Now that we come through that, there were some things that I was kind of nitpicking. Not like putting in a category of this is why I hate this movie. No, no, it's just like things that are like, okay, I'm kind of done with this part of the movie.
Yeah.
It became sometimes overwhelming, all of the different fights that were happening. And I know it's an action, it's a superhero movie and stuff, and that's the nature of them. But at some point, it's like, okay, can we have some dialogue that's not just witty banter about the fight you're having?
Well, and sometimes not even that. Like, I do feel like we were doing a little bit of, I don't know, fight scene. I don't know. It was
overload.
It was fight scene overload where, yeah, there was a point in it where it stopped serving the story, and I was bored.
Even though there was an action scene.
Even though there was an action scene. I have, like, I want to see the action.
Oh, I totally do.
I want to see all your special effects. Show me everything. What can Black Widow do? I want to see her, you know, fight and do all her cool stuff. But there's a point in the action scene where it's like, okay, we get it. They're awesome. We get it. Something exploded. There was one thing I really liked, though, and I thought we were done talking about things we liked. There was that Hawkeye talking to Scarlet Witch in the scene when the whole thing was there, and I love that because what does he say exactly? You can stay in here and hide and protect yourself,
and that's fine. We'll come get you.
We will come get you. But then he says, if you come out there, you fight,
and you'll be an Avenger.
You'll be an Avenger. I love that. It gives me goosebumps just talking about it. I love little things like that.
It also defined what an Avenger is.
Right.
He doesn't have superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
He's just saying, if you choose to fight with us or mm-hmm. go out, then you're an Avenger. You know, mm-hmm. basically, if you're fighting back, you're an Avenger.
And I kind of feel like, too, again, this goes back to me watching S.H.I.E.L.D., watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is that it almost feels like Hawkeye's closer to being...
Yeah.
Like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. than he is to being an Avenger. He just happened to, like, be in the right place at the right time. To be, like, he's one step up above the normal S.H.I.E.L.D. people mm-hmm. to be able to, like, be counted among the Avengers because of his experience or whatever happened. He just happened to be at the right place at the right time. But he's kind of, it's his job. It's like, I like that.
Yeah, me too. I like that too. It's almost like Natasha. She can't be a regular agent she's not even like,
Agent May.
May, I love her. They both suffered something traumatic that I think, they're different in that Black Widow, she came from a place of evil.
Also, email spoilers or Facebook spoilers about what's happened in season two.
Yeah, don't.
We have only watched through season one, so...
Was it two? There were two seasons on Netflix, right?
I know. No, there's only one season on Netflix.
Okay.
You haven't seen season two.
Okay.
So I just don't want anyone to spoil us, because I don't know. I don't know what happens. And...
Yeah, don't tell
like
us.
So we're talking about Agent May like we
to
the end of season one. I just want to make sure that nobody's like blah blah blah, you know, and spoil something for us.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know.
So don't tell us. But Agent May, even though she had some dark history too, she was trained by S.H.I.E.L.D., who's basically protecting people, protecting humanity. They may be gray, but they protect humanity. Whereas wherever Natasha came from was the enemy. So she knows the enemy, right?
Yep.
That's, I think, what separates the two of them and why she's probably an Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Because they both probably have the same awesome skills. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide why those two are Avengers. And maybe someone who has some comic book background could tell us.
Well, but that's the thing, too, is that sometimes in comic books, they don't give you a background.
That's true. Here's this guy.
And so then in the movie, they are creating, I don't know, but in the movie, they sometimes create background. I've looked up some of these things, and it'll be like, so-and-so randomly appeared in this book, you know, in 1984 or something.
Yeah.
And then maybe they did go back and do a story, but sometimes they just appeared.
Yeah, that's so true.
But that's the atmosphere of the comic book world.
You just have to roll with it.
You just have to roll with it.
But well, we can think about it. If we can think about who can pick up the hammer.
Well, I know, but the movie creates a situation, and we are, as a movie audience, we expect more.
Yeah.
We want more backstory.
That's true.
So, it's okay.
I would love it.
But I think Joss knows that.
Yeah. What do you think about the ending and what happened to Scarlet Witch's brother?
Oh, I was very sad about that.
I like the way he went out.
Well, and I like how there was, we didn't really touch on this exactly, but like how they started out like working for the bad guys and then they...
Yeah.
And then they switched. Realized, oh, the bad guys are really not the good guy. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of the opposite of what happened in... I'm not going to say.
No spoilers.
I'm just saying it's the opposite of what happened in...
Another thing that we had to see.
Sorry. What about the villain? That was another one of my...
Oh, I kind of liked it, but I love James Spader. Like, I love him.
Voice is is an interesting choice for that character, because he's very human, and at the same time, he is not. It's like a contrast between what you're looking at and what you're hearing.
I know, but that's what makes it so creepy.
And scary, yeah.
And he's just a good choice. Do you watch The Blacklist?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, he's good in that. I mean, I like him, so I'm not a very good judge. I love it. Love it. And I don't know much about what that character was supposed to be.
Like, was he invented for this movie?
I don't know.
Does he have, a comic book background? Because I almost thought, like, oh, this is another guy that just served up to fight one movie and now he's gone. You know, kind of thing.
Well, I was really sad when we thought that he had killed Jarvis. That wasn't cool.
Yes. No, that was not cool. By the way, I saw a bumper sticker that said, Jarvis is my co-pilot.
I like that. That's funny. So, yeah, I am looking forward to now seeing, catching up once it comes out on Netflix or something that I don't have to pay
for. See, I was looking forward to seeing more about their battle with Hydra. And again, we haven't seen the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D., so maybe that's been resolved. But there was a gap for me between S.H.I.E.L.D. and this movie.
Right.
Because I thought for sure there would be, like, some fallout or something.
Okay, sorry. You're going to have to cut
this. And to some extent, they still are. Because Nick Fury is coming back from, like, the shadows, you know? So you know that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't completely back at all.
He is in the... He is
the Ultron?
In Marvel, yeah.
Okay, he's in the comic books.
And, yep. First appeared in 1968. And there's not really that much about him on the site that I'm looking at, but he was the most horrific creation of scientific genius Dr. Henry Pym. Ultron is a criminally insane, rogue, sentient robot dedicated to the conquest and extermination of humanity.
But Tony Stark didn't develop him, he just was another scientist that made himself.
Just another, So they.
How do you comic book people feel about that? I bet some of them are pretty like, oh, it's not sticking to the story. And then some people are like, hey, I'm having fun. Just let's go with it.
But originally in the comic book, the twins are the offspring of Magneto.
Oh, that makes sense.
That is not the case in the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't talk about it, or that is officially not the case. And that's the thing in the comics is that depending on who's writing it, I've found out now
that
I've been reading,
themselves.
They just rewrite it and like create a different backstory for people. So anything's possible.
And that fits in great with Anomaly Supplemental's next episode is on reboots, reimaginings, and remakes. So it's just kind of trying to just explain the difference between them all and whatever. So, but anyway, I thought that was an interesting topic.
It is an interesting topic.
Overall, what did you think of the movie?
Oh, I thought it was fun.
I thought it was fun too.
I can't wait to see, like, the next thing.
Yeah.
And keep
watching it. At the end, Thanos. Hmm. If you stick around from the credits, which most of our listening audience knows how to do.
Yes. Also, I found a good infographic on if you're like us or like me and hadn't caught up on every single thing, I found a good infographic about what order to watch everything in.
So
and it includes Guardians of the Galaxy, it includes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it includes Agent Carter, all of that. So
put it in the show notes.
I'll find it and I think I have it saved on my iPad. We just want to credit it.
Yeah.
I need to find where I found it so that you can credit the people, because I don't like stealing people's.
Yeah. Make sure you go to the show notes at anomalypodcast.com for this episode to get that. But we did receive listener comments, and the last half of this, and I hope you'll stick around for it, is just our listener mail, and then we'll follow it up with our conclusion.
Printing out emails, printing out emails, printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
Hi, Angela. Hi, Jen. This is David from the Facebook page. I just got done listening to the Worst of Trek, The Game. Oh, so hilarious. It was great to listen to, but a little bit of an awkward pick for me because I've been trying to get my 14-year-old daughter to listen to Anomaly. And she was home from school early yesterday in the kitchen with me, and she's making brownies. And I thought, oh, what a good opportunity for her to listen to the podcast. And this is the one I chose to put on. And I'd have to say, after, I don't know, part of the way into the podcast, after all the erotic chocolate, the dislike of the word pleasure, and the faces of the crew, we decided we'd pause this one. Daddy will listen to it later. The look on my daughter's face as we were listening to this was priceless. She has some questions now about some certain words and definitions that Auntie Angela was using, so I'll be giving her the Girly Geeks email address so she can send Angela all those questions. Great show. I loved it. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hello, Jen and Ange. This is Scott or Bowtie Man on certain forums if you visit there. Just wanting to leave a reply to your latest episode about the Phantom Menace. See, now you guys got me messing up on the name. You guys were right on, at least as far as I come from. You were not too soft, you were not too hard, and I don't think anyone who listens to you guys would ever or should ever accuse you of hating the genre. It's because we care so much for it. It's like a child. You want the best for it. You want to give it the best and accept the best from it. And you just wish that they would stop stuffing beans up their nose. And it's the same thing with the genre that we love so much. So to see something like the Phantom Menace hit just hurts. And it's not the fault of any one person. To lay the blame on Jake Lloyd is unfair, very much so, because he was just a kid following the director. I kind of lay the blame on the director and the writer. It's hard, from what I gather, to act in front of a green screen. Never had to do it. I've always had beautiful backdrops whenever I've acted. But there were other things. You guys mentioned Jar Jar, and I just remembered when you said that in an interview with George Lucas, where the idea for Jar Jar actually came from his kid. And when you think about it, the age that his kids were right about that time, yeah, that makes sense. All of the matter that was joked about. I think it was an attempt to bring his kids into what he was doing, and that's fine. That's not a problem. It just could have been handled differently than it did. Funny story, some of the guys that I work with, since I work in a tech-related industry, we're all just a bunch of nerds. We were talking about at work how J.J. Abrams should put in the death of Jar Jar. I'm thinking maybe Jar Jar frozen in kryptonite, maybe a skeleton of Jar Jar in the sand somewhere, like in a panning shot. You just see a skeleton, and some people would be like, oh, hey, what is that? And the rest of us would be like, that's Jar Jar! So look at that. You guys now get two voicemails. And you probably thought it was two separate people, but no, it's just me, the annoying Scott. So anyways, yeah, loved your guys' idea. I could go on and on. In fact, I was rebutting and had to pause the podcast so I could make my own comments to the car, and probably had people around me in traffic wondering what exactly I was talking about and why the hands were flying all around. But yes, episode one is not my favorite. Some of the best scenes were revealing about the Jedi and who and what they were. The past and young childhood of Anakin, not really what I'd thought about. But this comes from George, and so, you know, for what it was really good. There were just really rough parts in it that when you get around those rough parts, it actually was not a bad movie for what it was. I view it as seeing the Jedi Order in all of their awesome glory, and definitely look forward to hearing what you guys thought about Clone Wars. Maybe I'll write a little bit more since the voicemail is not letting me add too much, but that's okay. That's fine. Enjoy listening to your guys' voices, so don't want you guys to suffer through mine. So anyways, we'll talk to you later. You guys have a wonderful time with you and your family. Happy Mother's Day belatedly to both of you, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
This is from Mark. Look, I'm sending you feedback. Don't be sad. I finally got all caught up on podcasts. My work iMac died. I spent a long time getting everything back on this new laptop. That means I have a lot of random comments that are probably way too late to be useful for anything. I should have just started typing as I was listening, but hey, there's this thing called work, and it's annoyingly insistent. Raid Group Dynamics. Loved it. It was hilarious how you described each other. Even funnier was Jen's description of me. A non-confrontational, distant, pew-pew kind of leader, which is spot on. I usually end up DPSing because I'm too scared of the emotional roller coaster of raid healing. My first instinct is healing because it's my nature, and they're always needed. But they get little praise when things go great, and a metric crap ton of scorn when things go bad. You're expected to heal through anything, including damage incurred by obviously bad players. I bet Jin doesn't worry about that. You rip Dagger off the tank? Huh, have a nice death. He's referring to Sith Jin in that. Healing for friends was never a problem, but random raids are cruel and ugly. I guess that's why I like hybrid characters so much. World of Warcraft shaman and druids, Star Wars The Old Republic operative scoundrel, etc. If healing has me down, switch to DPS. Return of the King. Super great episode. I enjoyed the parts you focused on. I've read the books several times and have never made it through the extended cut that I remember. I do remember the mouth of Sauron, though. That really wasn't in the theater version? Anyway, concerning Frodo, what I remember from the books is probably just as confusing as the movie concerning the boat to the west and why Frodo and Bilbo go there. Christopher Tolkien does explain it in the letters, but the long and short of it is this. The West, across the ocean, is the elven home, where the elves can go to and be immortal. They can invite others to come, but it's like a presidential pardon. Few are granted. So certain mortals who have played some part in elvish affairs may pass with the elves to elven home. Thus, Frodo, by the express gift of Arwen, and Bilbo, and especially Sam, as adumbrated by Frodo, and as a unique exception, Gimli the dwarf, as a friend of Legolas and servant of Galadriel. The elves cannot grant immortality to non-elves, but they can live there. Quote, their sojourn was a purgatory, but one of peace and healing, and would eventually pass away, die at their own desire and of free will, to destinations of which the elves knew nothing. End quote. Bilbo was old, and still ailing from being with the ring, and he always loved the elves, so he went. Frodo had to go, from both Wraithblade and the ring. I suspect why he could not just give the ring to Sam was because it would kill him to be away from it. Once Sauron realized the ring had resurfaced, I'm sure both Ring and Master sort of amped up the effect it was having on Frodo. That may also explain why Bilbo was able to keep it so long. Sauron was still greatly diminished at the time of The Hobbit. As for why Sméagol was corrupted so quickly, he was a pretty bad hobbit to begin with. Daegol found the ring, and Sméagol killed him immediately. The book never implied that he even touched the ring before whacking his friend. The movie kind of implies that the ring was making him do it. Anyway, opinions galore. I'm going back to work. Talk to you guys soon. That was from our friend Mark. You can find the podcast episodes that he referred to in our feed or by going to the show notes. I'll add links to both of those podcast episodes. I'll also include links to the episodes that Scott and David mentioned as well. And don't forget to subscribe to our blog. Sue recently put up a tutorial on decoupage comic book shoes, which is really detailed and very good. It's so popular, it's being featured on another geek website. I'll also add a link in the show notes for this episode to the article I referred to that Casey wrote about Age of Ultron, which is really cool. You should check it out. And now, the conclusion of our episode.
You're listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Chin and Angela. You're listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Chin and Angela. You're listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Chin and Angela. You're listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Chin and Angela. You're listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Chin and Angela.
David is not my David. David from the Facebook group. His voicemail about the game episode that we did, the Worst of Trek, the game, had me going for a while, and you were like, no, Jen, he's kidding. And I'm like, but there was an explicit tag on the episode, and we said at the beginning of the episode that, that there was an explicit tag, and I can't believe you would let his daughter keep listening, but now I think... he was joking for sure, and sort of, I think, making fun of us, because even though we were talking about a topic that's kind of...
racy?
Like, racy or kinky, we weren't saying anything inappropriate at all.
That's really funny.
So, yeah, that was our The Worst of Trek, the game episode, which I got a lot of comments on that. People like it.
I'm really glad that that's the one you reposted, because it did. It got a lot of traction, because some of our fans that haven't been with us for as long, because that was kind of, that was a few years ago that we did that.
Yeah.
Because that was our first...
2010.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
2009? Something like that.
Yeah, so I think that was fun for some of our more recent past few years listeners to hear.
Yeah, and some
it's
of
hilarious.
Our longtime listeners is one of their favorite episodes. So.
Yes,
but
yeah.
Anyway, there's that. And then Scott emailed us, sent us a voicemail about the the Phantom Menace.
Yes.
So, basically, in agreement with everything we said. So.
Yeah, that's how we feel.
Yeah. And I can't remember what Mark said, but we agree with him all the time anyway.
We do.
Thank you guys for...
our raid leader.
For calling us and for writing to us. And if you would like to write to us, you can do so by going to our website at anomalypodcast.com, or you can email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. You can also call us, which we would love, at 432-363-4742. No one's going to pick up. Don't worry, it's just a voicemail system. As Scott mentioned, you are timed. So you can call back if it interrupts you.
Also, you can like our page on Facebook. We're finally over, I know this is not a lot, but we're finally over 200, so
woo!
I was very proud of myself on that. And we have a lot more on our group, and the group kind of functions the way of old forum used to.
Yeah.
And there's always people posting on there.
Yes.
I know I
we
say
have
that.
Some new people.
Yeah.
Quite a
and
few new people. Welcome.
I say that on every podcast, but it's true. I always see posts from, I get notifications from Anomaly all the time, and it's always cool stuff. It's always cool pictures and articles and memes and funny things and interesting conversations. So,
yeah. And the same for Twitter. Oh my gosh, it erupted recently.
Oh, good.
On Twitter, because we were invited to participate in a hashtag game by this publishing company, and their hashtag was sci-fi classifieds, and basically you had to come up with something clever like Lost, you know, one prosthetic leg, or you know, something like that, and then hashtag sci-fi classifieds. So I went to our staff group and I asked somebody, you know, I asked anybody to help me with it, because
that's funny.
I can come up with one or two, but we put Casey in charge of that, and she overwhelmed them.
That's funny.
With a bunch of hilarious
Casey's funny
tweets that are still being retweeted and favorited. And then Noah and Sue also jumped in, which was awesome. So join us on Twitter. Yep, we have like 1,040 Twitter followers.
My gosh, I'm so proud of you.
Well,
you do a great job.
So anyway, that's that. You've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast,
where female and fandom converge.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com.
Do you experience bouts of geekdom? If so, Anomaly may be right for you. In clinical studies, Anomaly's convention reports, cosplay topics, and commentary on Star Wars, Doctor Who, Star Trek, and other sci-fi fantasy genres provided a feeling of fullness while promoting optimal geekiness. Anomaly is available over-the-counter at Stitcher and in the iTunes, Zune, and BlackBerry stores. Learn more at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Anomaly, your prescription for geek entertainment.
Anomaly is created under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives 3.0 license. Say that three times fast.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.